We've been doing a series called People, and the title of this evening's message is Spiritual Influence Part 3, The Spiritual Grandfather. So it represents the third column on that sheet. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word tonight, you would feed us. We pray, Lord, that this would be strong meat for those that have decided to gather this evening and desire that meat of the word. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, it would be both give both understanding and be an encouragement and a challenge to us tonight. We pray that we'd understand this subject of being a spiritual grandfather. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just for fun, I looked up what the tennis spot said were the top 10 tennis coaches of all time. What I found was that they all taught more than how to hit a ball. Each of these 10 top coaches developed relationships with those who they were coaching, influencing the kind of people that the tennis players were. Top of the list was Richard Williams, who you probably can guess coached his two daughters, Venus and Serena, to be number one in ranking in the world. And then the next on the list I'd never heard of, Nick Bollettieri, who Jim Courier described as having a paratrooper mentality. I think he must have been a pretty tough coach. Bollettieri said, "I know how to relate to people in a manner that fits in with who they are." In other words, he knew how to motivate them, he understood what made them tick, and he could say what got them going. Lennart Bergelin transformed Bjorn Borg from a tennis hothead to a man who had an inner peace, said the tennis spot. And the list of 10, the world's 10 best tennis coaches included three Australians, including Harry Hopman. The comment there was, anyone who could get a teenage John McEnroe to call him Mr. Hopman must be doing something right. Tony Nadal, Rafael's uncle, or Rafa's uncle, also made the list. Rafa said, Tony was tough on me from the start. Well, if relationships are important in winning tennis matches, they certainly are important. They are certainly more important in spiritual influence. And this is especially true of the third level of spiritual influence that we're looking at tonight. We're calling the spiritual grandfather. Whilst the spiritual man is a disciple and the spiritual father is a discipler, the spiritual grandfather relates to both disciples and disciplers. His relationships are absolutely crucial in his or her, doesn't have to be a man, in his or her place of spiritual influence. So he could be talking about a spiritual grandmother tonight. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. When I spoke about the spiritual man, the disciple, I was speaking to everyone. When I was speaking about the spiritual father, the discipler, I was speaking to everyone. But when I speak of the spiritual grandparents, either the spiritual grandfather or the spiritual mother, I'm speaking to only some. All Christians are in a leadership position when they disciple others. And that is the spiritual father. But tonight, we're looking at leadership too, a position of leadership that is referred to as an elder by the scriptures. And of course, wives of elders serve alongside their husbands as spiritual grandmothers. So who am I talking to tonight? You may have been a spiritual father discipling others. And if you've been involved in ministries in church, in this church, or seeking to witness out there in the world, that's certainly been true of you. You've been a spiritual father or mother. But God may desire for you to take the next step to be a spiritual grandfather or grandmother. So am I speaking to you tonight? I'm certainly talking to elders and their wives, whether you have that official title or not. I'm certainly talking to deacons and their wives. But I am also talking to those who God might move into a leadership position in the church. Is that you? I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Well, you certainly need to know and live the job description of a spiritual grandfather. For the rest of us, we need to know what to expect from leadership in the local church, in this local church, or any local church that we might be in. Well, the spiritual influence of the spiritual grandfather is well described in the scriptures. And we're going to follow the same five characteristics that we have the previous two Sunday evenings as we looked at the spiritual man and then the spiritual father. So the first characteristic of the spiritual grandfather is shepherding, which is his role. Shepherding, which is his role. The spiritual man is a disciple. The spiritual father is a discipler, and the spiritual grandfather is a shepherd. The focus of the disciple is choosing. He needs to choose to follow Christ. The focus of the discipler is challenging. He challenges others to follow Christ. And the focus of the shepherd is counsel as he relates to both the disciple and discipler. Now, there is a type of counsel, as we've been looking at in the People series, that all need to be involved in. But I'm talking here of another level of counsel, something like a consultant. The spiritual grandfather will always be a follower of Jesus, like the spiritual man is. The spiritual grandfather will always be a leader, discipling others, just as the spiritual father is. But the spiritual grandfather will also be shepherding all, watching out over the flock and being a storehouse of wisdom, a help for others, like spiritual fathers who are doing, definitely involved in discipling work, and also for new disciples with a storehouse of Bible knowledge and help. Someone reminded me recently of the beautiful passage of Scripture about shepherds in Ezekiel chapter 34, about the role of shepherds. Now, the shepherds of Israel were not fulfilling their role, and so this passage rails against the shepherds of Israel, but it also sets out what their role should be. And it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. We'll start in 34 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the word of God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? A shepherd will care for the sheep. Sadly, some who call themselves shepherds fleece the flock. Verse 3 goes on to say, You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. When the Lord Jesus reinstated Peter to his position of being a shepherd, to his shepherding ministry, he said to Peter in John chapter 21 and verse 15, Feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and then feed my sheep. Feeding is a major part of shepherding, but the shepherds of Israel were neglecting that role. They were feeding themselves from the flock instead of feeding the flock. There are two levels of feeding. There are feeding the lambs and there are feeding the sheep. Different feed is required in each case. The shepherd will teach the new disciple and the shepherd will teach the discipler different things. So there are different foods that are required and teach them in different ways. But as well as feeding, the shepherd is to tend. He is to tend the sheep. The shepherds of Israel, however, had stopped care for and care about looking out for the sheep. The shepherds of Israel were caring for themselves and fleecing the flock like false teachers today. And Peter points to false teachers and he says to us, warning us about false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. They're out there to fleece the flock. Now, my father-in-law was a shepherd. He was a good shepherd, and if you're interested, he's pictured there on your handout. Every day, he would drive round his sheep. Mostly, he would let them feed themselves, but in drought, he would hand-feed the sheep. And that required a particular food, usually grain. Then he would make sure that they had water. If the lambs had lost the mother, he would hand feed the lambs. And that, of course, required milk, a special formulation. He'd hand feed them. That's the role of a spiritual grandfather. First, he must be aware of the state of the sheep. Phone calls, visits, hospitality. Next, he makes sure the sheep are getting good food. Milk for the lambs. And grain for the hungry sheep. The role is that of a caring shepherd overseeing the sheep. And that will lead us on to the next characteristic of the spiritual grandfather. But if the spiritual man is like a soccer player and the spiritual father is like the team captain, The spiritual grandfather is like the coach, having input into both the captain and the players. If the spiritual man is like a student, and the spiritual father is like a teacher, the spiritual grandfather is like a principal managing both students and teachers. If the spiritual man is like a new recruit, and the father is like a drill sergeant, the spiritual grandfather is like a general planning strategy. If the spiritual man is like a disciple and the spiritual father is like a discipler, the spiritual grandfather is an overseer of the disciples and the disciplers, counseling all, that's his role. So the second characteristic of the spiritual grandfather is overseeing, which is his responsibility. First of all, shepherding, which is his role, and overseeing, which is his responsibility. And obviously the role and the responsibility are closely related. A shepherd will teach and oversee. Remember when we talked about disciples, we said the basic thing that we need to do as disciples of Jesus Christ is to hear and do. We hear the word of God and then we do it. And as a discipler, we do the word of God and we teach it. Well, as a shepherd, we teach and oversee. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 speaks to the shepherds, the overseers, saying, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not because you have to, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, not after money, but eagerly as unto the Lord, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you." It's not a power trip, but being examples to the flock. The shepherd is to feed and attend, and to do that effectively, he is going to have to oversee. All this is done for the love of the great shepherd of the sheep. It's not done for money, nor is it to control others. Spiritual influence occurs by modeling and teaching, motivating, like Paul did for Timothy. Paul shepherded Timothy, teaching Timothy to shepherd others. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so Paul was to shepherd, Timothy was to shepherd the disciples in his flocks. And Paul was teaching him how to do that. Similarly, Paul shepherded the Ephesian elders, teaching them to shepherd the flock that God had given them. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch." Therefore watch, that's the overseeing role. "And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." An overseer is both a minister and a manager. He ministers by feeding the flock and he manages the sheep where he sees issues amongst the sheep. When Dad drove around the sheep, some of the sheep would be blown. Some of the sheep would be cast. Sometimes they would be without water because there was a problem with the pump or it had got blocked up or something. And then having spotted a problem, he would have to manage the problem. God continues to instruct through Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains on every high hill, and my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. No one was looking for them or looking out for them." In those verses we learn that the weak are to be strengthened, that the sick are to be healed, the broken are to be bound up, that the lost are to be found, and those that were driven away are to be brought back. If these problems are to be identified and dealt with, there needs to be a seeking and a searching, a watching ministry from the shepherds. This is oversight. Ezekiel's words were no doubt in Paul's mind when Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient to all. Do you see how Paul's reflecting his knowledge of Ezekiel there? The spiritual man is a disciple. The spiritual father is a discipler. And the spiritual grandfather is a discipler of both. He's overseeing both and helping both. He is teaching others how to disciple. The disciples are at the coalface doing the work of the ministry, and the spiritual grandfather is the consultant teaching them how to do the work of the ministry. That's explained in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, many fields of endeavor have consultants. In the area of medicine, you may have a surgical consultant who is a surgeon. He's doing the work of surgery, but he's also acting as a consultant. Under him, there is going to be a surgical registrar. And under the registrar, there's going to be a number of residents in the hospital who are doing the routine work with the patients. Whilst the consultant still operates, much of the time he's going to be acting as a consultant. In other words, the registrar is going to be ringing up and talking to him as the boss and asking him, telling him the case history of a particular patient, and asking what is the best course of action, or suggesting what is the best course of action, and being corrected by the consultant. So he is getting advice. This consultant is giving a consultation. He's giving advice to those who are under him, how to proceed with a particular person. The spiritual grandfather is still doing the work of the ministry, but he is also consulting, and he's also teaching on how to do the work of the ministry. He is counseling on that kind of level. He certainly must still be hearing and doing as any disciple. And he must be doing and teaching as any discipler. But now he is also teaching and overseeing. He's had experience in following Christ and leading others to follow Christ. He's had experience in many areas, but there's still going to be situations that he meets where he is stretched, where he's not sure what to do, and he is really seeking to follow the Lord in these areas, in new situations. As Dad drove round the sheep, if any were cast, he would stand them on their feet. If any were fly blown, he'd clean out the maggots, maybe from their horns or from their tail. He'd clean out the maggots and he'd pour in some antiseptic. If any had wandered and got outside of the paddock, he would get them back inside the paddock with the rest of the flock. A few times, I guess it might have been risking the life of the sheep, a few times he asked me to drive round the sheep. And then I'd go back and talk over with Dad what I'd found. He was acting as a consultant. I was doing the work there, but he was helping. He was shepherding there from a distance, I guess. That is the responsibility of a spiritual grandfather. Feeding the sheep, tending the sheep, overseeing the flock, managing the problems, and counseling those at the coalface. All of those ministries, and obviously he's going to move from the actual individual work more toward that counseling, consulting role. The third characteristic of the spiritual grandfather is planting, which is the result of faithfulness. Planting. And by planting, I'm thinking here of planting churches. I could have also used the word growing, and you could use that, growing, which is the result of faithfulness. Growing as he sees the result of his works with both disciples and disciplers. Or we could have used the word multiplying as he watches the extended family of God grow. The spiritual man is a model. The spiritual father is a minister, serving, discipling. The spiritual grandfather is a multiplier as he oversees a flock of disciples. Paul's flock of disciples include Titus and Timothy and the Thessalonians and indeed the elders of Ephesus. Again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 we read, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul instructs Timothy how to be a spiritual father, And in doing so, he is modeling for Timothy how to be a shepherd, how to be a spiritual grandfather. Paul could multiply his ministry through men like Titus and Timothy and the elders at Ephesus and Corinth and Thessalonica. He was overseeing all of that and he was able to multiply. See, the leadership of a local church should be managing and counseling a bunch of disciplers. It should be all of the church. Certainly everyone that is here tonight should be involved in discipleship in some way, reaching out to people, helping them to grow in Christ, involved in the ministries of the church. But I guess we'd have to admit there is no perfect church. As Nolan and I have travelled round churches, we've been to a lot of churches as missionaries, and we'd go into churches and we'd see, we'd always be very gracious as we went into churches, but sometimes we'd see obvious problems, and other times we'd go, oh wow, they're really doing that well. And we collected ideas as we went around, but we found that there was no perfect church, even really small churches, where everyone in that church was doing the work of the ministry, involved in discipleship. As they started to grow, as we've watched those churches grow and reach out to more and more people, it's very hard to keep that up so that everyone involved in that church is involved in discipleship, having a spiritual influence. This local church is not yet finally established or planted, but when that occurs, it will be a result of leadership who are following Christ, being disciples, leading others, being disciplers, and then overseeing all that follow and lead. How tragic when you ought to be a discipler that someone have to disciple you again. And that's where we ended last time. How tragic that you need someone to teach you again when you ought to be a teacher by now. 3 years. 3 years as a Christian ought to be enough. Christ only had 3 years with his disciples. 3 years is a normal average university course or course in TAFE and so forth. 3 years, we ought to be ready. That's kind of, it might be more for some and less for others, but that's kind of a guideline. Oh Lord, please give us wisdom and spiritual power, influence in people's lives, to see people follow Christ, to see people lead others to Christ and oversee the process. If we would influence people spiritually, this is the biblical model to follow. And we started 3 times ago saying that those who have studied the life of Jesus and how he discipled his disciples, this is the model. Disciple, discipler, shepherd. The result of that is churches planted and growing spiritually and numerically. Planted is the result of faithfulness. The fourth characteristic of the spiritual grandfather is motivating, which is his method. Motivating, which is his method. I could have also used the word encouraging, because the leader motivates by encouragement or perhaps by warning sometimes. The leader endures maintaining his example to both disciples and disciples. So I'd use the word enduring and example also there. Let's watch Paul with Timothy. Paul urges Timothy to pastor the disciples. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And I just went through the first few examples in 1 Timothy. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He urges Timothy to pastor the disciples. And Paul charges Timothy to use his gifts. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Paul instructs Timothy how to shepherd. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. How to shepherd. How he was to conduct himself. And Paul instructs Timothy how to feed the flock. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And I could have gone through and I could have given you dozens of examples from 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, how Paul was motivating Timothy and Titus to be shepherds themselves. Paul encourages Timothy to endure and to be an example to the believers. Be there an example to the believers in word, in conduct, Paul says to Timothy. So Paul motivates Timothy to be the kind of discipler, leader, and shepherd that he should be. About half a dozen times a year, I meet with a group of shepherds. As they seek to have a shepherding influence over their flock, we meet similar challenges. So when we get together, we pray for one another. That's the best thing that we can do for each other. We share the challenges and we share the blessings that God has brought our way. And I come away encouraged. Praise God, they're having a problem in that area too. It's not just me. I'm not alone. These are a fine group of men, all spiritual grandfathers, and though some of them are quite young. I know I could phone any of them and chat over issues with them, and they would be happy to hammer out issues with me. The collective wisdom of these men is enormous. Would you aspire to such a thing? Do you desire in your heart? Would you say, Lord, I want to be that kind of man? Would you say, Lord, I want to be that kind of woman, shepherding others? I'm going to follow hard after you. I don't want to drop behind you. I don't want to get ahead of you. I want to walk with you. Lord, I want to influence others to follow you. And Lord, if you see fit, if it be your will, I make myself available to be a shepherd. Lord, help me to make every day count as I work towards that goal. Oh Lord, I want to be a godly man. Oh Lord, I want to be a godly woman, bringing as many with me as possible into the kingdom of God. Is that your heart? Well, the fifth characteristic of a spiritual grandfather would be tragic. He could be, as we've mentioned for the disciple and the discipler, he could be a failure. How tragic to be faithful as a spiritual man, to be faithful as a spiritual father, and then fail as a spiritual grandfather. It's either faithfulness or failure. Tragically, shepherds fail. Let's look at Ezekiel again. Ezekiel chapter 34, and we pick it up at verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. If God is against you, there is no chance for you. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, and they shall, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And it goes on to talk about that in some more detail. If a pastor fails, how tragic. But God won't stop caring for his people. God will look after his own sheep. Dependence on Christ can never cease. The shepherd, more than anyone, has to be dependent on Christ for absolutely everything. The shepherd must depend more than the disciple, or he will fail. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1 adds, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. Dad never failed his sheep. He was always there for him. Nolan remembers that as a child, they never went for a holiday. He would not entrust the sheep to some hireling who didn't care for the sheep. Who am I speaking to tonight? If you are in a shepherding position, do you need to be more faithful? If you are not in a shepherding position, is it something that you will aspire to? No one can be a spiritual father who hasn't first been born as a son. And no one can be a spiritual grandfather who hasn't first been a father. In other words, if he's going to be a spiritual grandfather, he must be following hard after Christ, walking with Christ, in step with Christ, with his yoke on his shoulders. If he's going to be a spiritual grandfather, he must be discipling others. Then he could be a shepherd. Some may go on to be spiritual grandfathers also. Is God touching your heart? Is that something that God wants for you? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." Am I talking to you this evening? Is the Spirit of God talking to you? Is the Word of God touched your heart? Is that what God wants for your life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that in some ways this message narrowed down tonight, but there was much feed there. There was much grain there for us sheep. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might go away seeking to care for those around us, seeking to teach the Word of God to those around us, seeking to look out for problems and do what we can, and to take on a shepherding role, even if we don't have that title. Oh Lord, I pray that there would be disciples in this church. I pray for disciplers in this church, and I pray for shepherds who care for the flock. Shepherds and under-shepherds, we're all under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, is there someone tonight? Is there someone in whose heart you're moving? Is there someone who should be training to be a shepherd? I pray for them, Father. I pray that they might have the boldness to step out and to make that step and to realize the cost and to plan for that and to work through that together. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this message tonight, that your word would not return unto you void. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.